God bless you, heart toilers. Well, this is just a very, very short announcement before the video. And that simply is that I've had some complaints that there are videos of ours that have been deleted. If you know of any videos that you can't find, would you please, please bring that up to us in the comments. Let us know what video it is, or send a private message to us on the channel and give us a list of the videos you can't find. I'd very much appreciate that. And if they are deleted, I'll put them back up. God bless you. Precious heart toilers, may the Lord touch our hearts tonight with His wisdom, that we may give up our own ways and live a life reliant only on His wisdom and best judgment. Amen. I've been in touch with a young woman, beautiful, talented, very sweet, and caught in a real mess that's draining the life out of her every day. This resulted from some choices she made that she now regrets. I was praying for her, and the Lord began to dictate a letter. Jesus began, "My sweet child, I have longed to speak with you, that you and I could draw closer together, and I could share my heartfelt desires for your life. I first want to tell you that there's nothing in this world that you can do to make me love you more. I'm already way over the top in love with your precious, sweet spirit. My child, I have seen your struggles and heard your many cries for the difficult and painful circumstances in your life. I have longed to tell you that I am mighty to save on your behalf, but you have seen my arm move and rescue you from many dangerous circumstances. I have led you away from these scenes that would have been your undoing and even premature death. There are so many gifts I have placed in your being, so many talents, so many graces. I do not expect you to use them all at once or in a hurry. Each will unfold in its time. As I have worked with Claire, so shall I work with you. She began her life in the world, very proud and determined to make her mark. I had to wait until she was burned out before I could approach her with what she was truly created for. She has learned also the very hard way that my wisdom for her, though she fought me many times. Sorry, Lord. I finally brought her around to a point where I could work with her. You are a great deal like her, a very talented and determined young woman. These traits can be harnessed to do tremendous good, but first they must be harnessed. That means that the beautiful horse is still green and hasn't yet been trained to pull the king's carriage." And he reminded me here to say, please read the story, The Harness of the Lord by Bill Britton. That's also a YouTube message that I did quite a long time ago. Jesus continued, "I know you struggle with direction in your life. Many times I have led you, and you did follow. For those times, I am most grateful. Other times you have rebelled and gone your own way. You are coming into a time now when you are reaping the fruit of your own choices, some good and not so good. This is the time of wisdom I have waited for in your life. I have waited for you to mature enough to realize that you cannot live your life on your own, or you will continue to make foolish and painful choices. That, among others, is the reason I have brought you here. You wonder why it seems to go wrong every time you try to do the right thing in your own wisdom. Yes, there is opposition. What is missing is your reliance on me, precious daughter. You are still trying to do things your way, in your strength, in your wisdom. You are not seeking me every day for wisdom. You are not going deep enough. I have allowed these contradictions to bring you to the end of yourself, so you will give your life into my hands totally and allow me to do what I want to do in your life. You do not have to convince me of your beauty and worth. I fashioned you for my own glory, and I do not want to see your life wasted on the wrong turn. So I have brought you to a point where you are understanding the past is full of dead ends. There is no sin in being weak, in needing guidance, in needing support, needing love. The real sin is pride and thinking that you are independent of these common human needs. You are able to do it on your own. That is why I have opposed you, even as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It is solid truth. And in those moments when you've exhausted your own resources, I have gladly come to your rescue. I have wonderful plans in store for you, wonderful joys, a very bright new future. But before I can execute these things, open the doors. I need your cooperation and to yield your life to me, leaning not on your own understanding, but leaning totally on me. In this way, the precious gifts I've invested in you will not go to waste on dead ends, as it has in the past. There's no danger here. There's nothing to protect. Everything you are, you can entrust into my hands, knowing that in the end you will have made the wisest choice. Your life will begin to bear good fruit, joyful fruit, productive and deeply rewarding. I alone know the road you must travel, and I'm asking you to allow me to guide you. I'm asking you to trust me as you never have before. I have placed you here very deliberately, for you have much to learn, and you will learn it here, if you are willing. You could search your whole life for a wellspring of wisdom and guidance, and you would never find anything as well suited to your nature as you have been given here. Gee, thanks, Lord. Well, if it weren't true, I wouldn't have said it, Claire. All I'm asking of you, dear child, is your recognition of your need for me and your agreement to seek my face, seek my will for you, and be yielding. When you hear me whisper in your mind, please pay attention and follow the way I guide you. Make use of the things around you to get solid confirmations as Claire and Ezekiel do. This way you will know you are on my path for you, and my path will always turn out best. I will many times affirm my love for you through this means, as well as warn you when you are about to make a wrong turn. All that you need I have and is yours for the asking. Always ask me to help you. Always ask me to provide for you. And always yield your way and your wisdom to me. In this way you will make more steady progress in the right direction for your life. Do not be afraid to ask for counsel. Rather, be very afraid of going your own way and stepping out from under my covering. Yes, I cover you, and I long to keep you safe under my wings of love. But for this you must learn to hear my voice. This is the right way. Walk in it, and I will guide you daily. To make that easier for you, ask for an increase of the gift of humility and a teachable spirit, and things will go much more smoothly for you. Please take these words to heart, for they are from my heart to yours, and life to your soul. I am here at your right hand always. Open your spiritual eyes to see me. Ask, and I will reveal my presence in many different ways. After all, how can you follow a God you cannot hear? I would not ask you to follow if I were not prepared to give you the means to hear. Ask. Don't be afraid. I love you so dearly, and nothing I ever say to you will be harsh or cruel, because I know the tenderness of your heart. Ask. So that was the letter. And I put another letter with that just for me, and it says, Dear one, this letter started coming to me, and I couldn't wait to capture it for you. Truly, I tried to listen only to his words and not anything of my own. Of course, I'm only human and not perfect, but I did my best. It was my intention to point out to you that he was opposing you. I could see that. I wanted to share that with you because it hurts me deeply to see the trial you are under and how it is eating up your time and strength. The one thing I wanted to tell you is that he is waiting for you to get tired of your own judgment and lean more on him. My feeling is that the Lord wants to be more a part of your decision making, and that means trusting a bit more and letting go. The problem you're facing now is with you letting go and letting God. I have wanted to share a lesson with you that I learned when I left my photography career behind. I always wanted to do a great job with my assignments. I was always over the top for my clients, going way beyond their expectations, for much less than the competition. I was raised in the city of Chicago in a competitive Jewish environment, and I always tried to look very intelligent and pretty so I could be accepted, and whether it was to employers, peers, or whatever, that was my goal. Being very bright, fast, efficient, and looking my best was always a top priority. Then, when I was converted to Christianity, I brought that same thinking into the church scene. But when the Lord led me away into the wilderness as a Franciscan sister, He began to teach me His way. His way put me in the position to be fulfilled in the true spiritual sense of the word, not the shallow worldly sense. My way set me at odds with Him, and He opposed me because I was proud and living by the world's standards for success. What I'm trying to say is that we can either do it ourselves and with our own resources, or we can do it God's way with His resources. But we can't have both ways. It's one or the other. My way is, I'm bright, I'm talented, I'm fast, I'm experienced, let me at it. His way is to take me out of what I was good at, namely professional nature photography, and drop me into something I was totally unfamiliar and inexperienced with, music. There's no way I could write, compose, play, and sing music. No way. I would sit at the keyboard and nothing would come out. Very discouraging, blank, flat, nothing, until I said uncle and asked him to do it. Then beautiful melodies came out. My voice turned to satin. Words fell in place. I even learned how to record and engineer my own music. What I'm trying to say here, sweetheart, is that if you truly want to be deeply fulfilled, go to Him empty-handed and ask Him to do it through you. I know this opposes the self-confident profile. I can do it myself because I'm talented and smart, so I will not allow myself to look like a weakling that needs someone else to help me. In my day, it was a matter of survival. And looking back on it, I think, yep, it's still a matter of survival. If I showed people that I needed help, they laughed at me, made fun of me, put me down, and I certainly wouldn't have gotten choice assignments I got. That's the world's way. But God's way is to take the little ones who depend on Him and work through them so they come out doing everything excellently, even though they could never have done it on their own. And when they see how God honors the fact that they're asking, they fall more and more in love with Him because He does things far beyond what we ever expected. What I'm trying to say is that if you confess to God that you can't do it, He will come to your aid and things will fall into place with much less effort than you've been putting into it. That's because He does oppose the proud and self-confident, but when He sees a truly humble or broken soul, He runs to their side with the angels of heaven and all His resources and does it for that soul because they're helpless and leaning on Him. Then we look up at Him amazed and say, "Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Thank you." So He gets all the credit, and we learn that He can be trusted with everything, and our lives grow and grow and produce wonderful, sweet fruit, and we're very happy and fulfilled. Yeah, and I have to confess that when I stopped trying to do it myself and did it God's way, I was far more fulfilled than I'd ever been in my life, ever. But I really had to give up my own way at just about every turn. I had to fight with my flesh. And there's one more perspective that I've learned, especially lately, and hopefully you won't have to wait till you're 71 to learn it, and that is that I was very critical of my mother, who was very much into the world as a prominent makeup artist in Chicago's ritzy Gold Coast. I was so opposite of her in so many ways and found fault with her all the time. I judged her and made up my mind I was not going to be like her. Well, the Lord certainly humbled me. I went through a period of being more worldly than my mother. I was proud of my accomplishments and accumulation of nice things. Then later I was determined to devote myself to my children as their mother. My mom was divorced and struggled to make ends meet, and her nighttime social life took her away from me on nights. I rarely saw her except in the summer for 2 months when we went on a trip to our lake house. Even then, she made herself busy with doing stuff. I never knew how hard it was for her until I, too, was a single mother, and I scrupulously avoided social life. But I found out the Lord was not pleased with me passing judgment on my mother, and He allowed me to fail as a mother in different ways, but at the very same things that I had criticized her for. What am I trying to say here, sweetheart? It's that as children, we don't live in our parents' shoes. We don't know how they were raised, what they suffered in their childhood, young adulthood, why they made the choices they made, and even their physical disabilities. We know so little. We only know what we can observe or what they might tell us. But there may be a mountain of painful experiences that formed them in the way they are that they never share with you. That explains how the things we look at as faults are so deeply embedded in their characters. So I'm just encouraging you to step back, see that you really don't know what God knows about them, and look at what they were really good at, and forgive, forget, and forsake judging them on their present situations. But go out of your way to praise and affirm them. There are things I do that my kids will never grasp, and yet they judge me for them. But now that they're approaching their 40s with their own husbands and families, they're seeing they aren't quite as smart and together as they thought they were, and they're coming back and apologizing. The only reason I mention that is because I don't want you to suffer having to learn hard lessons because you judged someone. When we judge, the Lord allows us to fail more and more and more until we feel so badly about ourselves we want to crawl under a rock. Trust me, I know what that hole under the rock looks like. Then He comes looking for us and tells us how much He adores and forgives us, and we get new courage to come out and try again. This time, we see our weaknesses very clearly, so we don't dare lift our heads to point a finger at their faults. We are too painfully aware of our own bad choices, and I see this right now in your situation. It's almost as though Jesus is saying, because He loves us, child, now that you know the repercussions of bad choices in your life and how you've messed up, you won't notice the mess-ups of others because you already feel too convicted about yourself. I allowed this because I love you and I'm teaching you the right way. Judging our parents opens the door for God to oppose us in what we are trying to do, and we also open the door to the enemy sifting us. And it is oh so painful for us parents to see our children sifted. If only I had known what I'm telling you now, I could have prevented at least 15 years of disastrous choices. If only I had known. So please forgive me for meddling. I love you and care deeply and hate to see you hurting. I hope this will throw some light on your present situation. Forgive me if I hurt your feelings in any way. I believe in you and see that you are far more moral and good than I was at your age. I have a great deal of respect for you, and I wish I'd been like you when I was 32, but I was not even near the good person you are. With much love and caring, Claire.